Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and genuinely thought-provoking topics on the entire EdExcel A-level religious studies specification, applied ethics, sexual ethics. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking, this sounds awkward. But trust me, once you see how the big ethical theories clash head-on with religious tradition on these issues, you'll find it genuinely gripping. And more importantly, you'll be able to pick up serious marks in your paper 2 exam. Here's what we're covering today. The three specific issues EdExcel wants you to address: premarital sex, extramarital sex, and homosexuality, and how 4 ethical theories plus religious perspectives apply to each one. We'll also go through the most common mistakes candidates make and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to lock it all in. Let's go. Let's start with the foundation. EdExcel Paper 2 requires you to apply 4 ethical theories to sexual ethics: natural, moral law, situation ethics, Kantian ethics, and utilitarianism. You also need to engage with religious perspectives, specifically traditional, Catholic, evangelical, and liberal or Anglican Christianity, and contrast these with secular views, particularly J.S. Mill's libertarianism. First up, natural moral law. This comes from Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century, though its roots go back to Aristotle. The key idea is that everything has a natural purpose, a telos, and morality means acting in accordance with that purpose. Aquinas identified 5 primary precepts: the preservation of life, reproduction, the nurture and education of children, living in an ordered society, and the worship of God. Now, apply this to sexual ethics. Sex, under natural moral law, has 2 essential functions: the procreative function, producing children, and the unitive function, bonding the couple. Here's a crucial exam point. You must distinguish between these 2. The Catholic Church, drawing directly on Aquinas, teaches that both functions must be present in every sexual act. This is precisely what Pope Paul VI argued in Humanae Vitae in 1968, that artificial contraception is wrong because it separates the procreative from the unitive. Premarital sex therefore violates natural moral law because it lacks the stability of marriage needed for the nurture of children. Extramarital sex violates it because it undermines the ordered society and the marriage covenant. And homosexual acts, under a strict natural moral law reading, are seen as contrary to the procreative purpose of sex. Though note that modern Catholic teaching, as in the Catechism, distinguishes between homosexual orientation, which is not sinful, and homosexual acts, which are considered disordered. Now let's move to situation ethics, developed by Joseph Fletcher in 1966. Fletcher's approach is radically different. He argues that love, specifically agape, unconditional Christian love, is the only absolute. Every other rule is relative to the situation. Fletcher famously gave the example of sacrificial adultery, a woman who sleeps with a prison guard to secure her husband's release, and argued, this could be morally justified if it was the most loving act in that situation. Applied to sexual ethics, situation ethics is far more permissive. Premarital sex could be morally acceptable if it is based on genuine love, mutual respect, and commitment. Extramarital sex is generally unloving because it involves deception and harm, but Fletcher's framework would not rule it out absolutely in every conceivable circumstance. And homosexuality under situation ethics is entirely acceptable if the relationship is grounded in genuine agape love. Fletcher explicitly supported this view. John Robinson, in Honest to God in 1963, similarly argued that love is the only ultimate criterion for sexual ethics. Now, Kantian ethics. Immanuel Kant's approach is deontological. It's about duty and universal moral laws, not consequences. The key tool is the categorical imperative, and for this topic, examiners particularly want you to apply the second formulation. Act so that you treat humanity, whether in your own person or that of another, always as an end and never merely as a means. This is powerful when applied to sexual ethics. Premarital sex is not automatically wrong under Kant. What matters is whether both parties are being treated as rational ends in themselves, with full consent and respect. Exploitation, manipulation, or using someone purely for physical gratification would violate the second formulation. Extramarital sex is more problematic. It typically involves deception of the spouse, which treats them as a means to an end. It also fails the first formulation. You could not universalize a law that everyone should break their marriage promises. Homosexuality, under a Kantian framework, is morally neutral if it involves mutual consent and respect. Both parties are treated as ends in themselves. Finally, Utilitarianism. Jeremy Bentham's original version uses the hedonic calculus, measuring pleasure and pain across seven dimensions, including intensity, duration, certainty, and extent, to determine the morally right action. John Stuart Mill refined this with his distinction between higher and lower pleasures. Applied to sexual ethics, the question is always, does this action produce the greatest happiness for the greatest number? Premarital sex, if consensual and causing no harm, could be morally acceptable. Extramarital sex is likely to cause significant pain to the deceived spouse, to children, to wider family, which would outweigh any pleasure gained. Homosexuality, under utilitarianism, is entirely acceptable where it produces happiness and causes no harm to others. And this brings us neatly to J.S. Mill's harm principle from On Liberty in 1859. Mill argued that society is only justified in interfering with an individual's freedom to prevent harm to others. This is the foundation of the libertarian secular view. What consenting adults do in private is their own business, provided no harm is caused. This directly informed the Wolfenden Report of 1957, which recommended the decriminalization of homosexual acts between consenting adults in private, a recommendation eventually enacted in the Sexual Offenses Act of 1967. Now, the religious perspectives. You must not present a single monolithic Christian view. This is one of the most common mistakes candidates make, and it costs marks. You need to distinguish between at least three strands. Traditional Catholic teaching, grounded in natural moral law and humanae vitae, takes an absolutist position. Sex belongs exclusively within heterosexual marriage and must always be open to procreation. Evangelical Christianity draws primarily on Scripture, Leviticus 18, verse 22, which condemns homosexual acts, and 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, which lists homosexuality among behaviors that exclude people from the kingdom of God. The Lambeth Conference of 1998 passed Resolution 1.10, which affirmed that homosexual practice is incompatible with Scripture, though this was contested by many Anglican bishops. Liberal and Anglican Christianity takes a more contextual approach, emphasizing love, consent, and the quality of relationships. Theologians like Jack Dominion developed a person-centered theology of sexuality, arguing that what matters is whether a sexual relationship promotes the full flourishing of the persons involved. Right, let's talk marks. EdExcel Paper 2 has two question types you need to master for this topic. The examined question is worth 10 marks and is pure AO1, knowledge and understanding. Do not evaluate. Do not say, however, critics argue. Simply explain the theory or concept in depth with precise references. If the question asks you to examine natural moral law's approach to sexual ethics, you need to explain the primary precepts, the unitive and procreative functions, and reference Aquinas and Humanae Vitae. That's it. The evaluate question is worth 20 marks and is predominantly AO2, critical analysis and evaluation. This is where 60% of your marks live. Your conclusion must not be a summary of what you've already said. It must be a genuine judgment that weighs the strength of competing arguments. Use the scholarly triangle, contrast a religious source like Aquinas with a secular critic like Mill, and then bring in a modern theologian like Vardy or Dominion for the highest AO2 credit. Now, the three biggest mistakes. First, conflating premarital and extramarital sex. These are distinct issues. Premarital sex means sex before marriage, fornication in traditional terminology. Extramarital sex means adultery, sex outside an existing marriage. They have different ethical implications under every theory. Under natural moral law, both are wrong, but for slightly different reasons. Under situation ethics, adultery is generally more problematic because of the harm caused to the existing partner. Don't muddle them. Second, presenting a monolithic Christian view. As I've just explained, Catholic, evangelical, and liberal Anglican positions differ significantly. Examiners will reward candidates who demonstrate this nuance. Third, describing theories without applying them. If the question is about homosexuality, don't just explain the hedonic calculus in the abstract, apply it. Ask, does homosexual practice cause harm? Does it produce happiness? That's the application examiners are looking for. Okay, quick fire time. I'll ask the question, you pause and think, then I'll give the answer. Question 1. What year was Humanae Vitae published and who wrote it? Pause now. The answer is 1968, Pope Paul VI. Question 2. What are the two functions of sex according to Catholic teaching? Pause now. The answer is unitive and procreative. Question 3. What is Fletcher's only absolute in situation ethics? Pause now. The answer is agape love. Question 4. Which formulation of Kant's categorical imperative is most relevant to sexual ethics? Pause now. The answer is the second formulation, treat persons as ends, never merely as means. Question 5. What did the Wolfenden Report of 1957 recommend? Pause now. The answer is the decriminalization of homosexual acts between consenting adults in private. Question 6. Name one biblical text used to condemn homosexual acts. Pause now. The answer is Leviticus 18 verse 22 or 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. Let's bring it all together. Sexual ethics on the EdExcel specification requires you to apply four ethical theories, natural moral law, situation ethics, Kantian ethics, and utilitarianism, to three specific issues, premarital sex, extramarital sex, and homosexuality. You must engage with religious perspectives, distinguishing between Catholic, evangelical, and liberal Christian views, and contrast these with secular libertarian arguments rooted in Mill's harm principle. Remember, AO1 is 40% of your marks. Get the knowledge precise. AO2 is 60%. Your analysis and evaluation is where you win or lose the grade. Use the scholarly triangle, distinguish your Christian traditions, and always apply theories directly to the specific issue in the question. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing those 20-mark essays, and remember, the examiner wants to give you marks. Show them the knowledge, show them the analysis, and you'll do brilliantly. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.